That's a bunch of nonsense. Pick a Glazer. This sounds outlandish. I can't believe I'm saying it.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. Mr. 5-0 in his picks, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the water damage whisperer, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. And this is the award-winning Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is back with us. And we are presented by Bill Curry Ford. So many incredible offers right now at Bill Curry Ford, and they've got a tremendous tax savings offer. You got to go to their website and check that out. Sean Sullivan, the GM at Bill Curry Ford, check out his Best in Class podcast. He did a nice job explaining on there some of the great offers at Bill Curry Ford. But more important, he sprints around the league looking at young players and all those draft picks that you're wondering, what are these guys doing? He does a great job with that. Check that out at JoeBucksFan.com and at Apple Podcasts. And, of course, Bill Curry Ford since 1960, Lee. 1960, they've been there serving the community. They've got the best deals, the biggest inventory, the largest service department in Florida, 100 loaner vehicles, a body shop that I've frequented.
I might have been in kindergarten back then, Steve.
The Penguin.
It was either kindergarten or first grade with Mrs. Frazier. She flunked me. She flunked me out of first grade. Joe, by the way, I gave you guys a musical interlude today before we started.
Yeah, we finally, for the first time, Lee and I got to see you play the guitar and sing.
I knew all the words, Lee.
I thought you monkeyed with the lyrics.
No, okay. I know all the words.
I'd like to see the full recording. You only gave us about 30 seconds. How long does that go? Like 3 minutes?
Yeah, like 3 minutes. I'm afraid it'll fall into the wrong hands if I give it to you, Steve.
You
might send it to Jason Light or something, you know, and he'll be goofing on me.
We could just watch it. Was that your wife filming?
My wife's filming. She even got Cosmo in at the end of the tape.
Did she treat you like a rock star now?
I could hardly tell the difference.
Ira, it was a great video, but I have to be frank.
Go ahead.
It wasn't what I saw earlier today, Livy Dunn laying out at her pool at her brand new house in Jupiter. It wasn't quite that, but it
you haven't seen me in the
I don't
Speedo.
Think I want to see you at your pool.
The website is BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name, fourth generation. Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E. Get to the website, see those specials, and mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan to Sean Sullivan.
And an incredible service department. Incredible.
And you can see a nice picture of Sean and reach out to him on the website and say you'd like the Ira Kaufman Joe Bucks Fan discount. Check it out. We appreciate their support, and we'll talk about them a little bit later. And Ira, this has been a hell of a week for Bucks fans. 4-1. To all the haters out there, there are no undefeated teams. You can look yourself in the mirror and say the Bucks are the best team in football and not be lying to yourself. And Sage, before we talk about Florida's Elite Restoration, our great friends at Florida'sElitereStoration.com, let's clear the floor for you. And after a little time to digest the game, what do you want to tell everybody? What struck you? What moved you?
I'll be relatively brief because we had a guy that was on site in Lee DeCamper. And we certainly want to hear about all the
calls. You can be long, and Lee can be long. You don't have to be brief.
Lee, 48 hours have passed, and I still can't believe how fantastic that win was. Absolutely. One of the great wins.
Wow.
Of recent vintage.
Wow.
Of recent vintage. Now, Baker Mayfield, again, you know, putting on the cloak of we're all in this together. Post-game, here was his line, complimentary football. Well, he was talking about Lamonte David's intercept. That was not complimentary football. That's a bunch of nonsense.
It was him.
They made a play. But they fell asleep for most of the game, including the whole second half.
Oh, the second half.
Until Winfield got in the guy's face and caused that errant throw. Baker Mayfield's the best player in football this year. I mean, who's more valuable than Baker Mayfield to their team? He's right up there. I said it right then on Sunday night, and a lot of people have picked up on it. I'm not saying because they read my column, but the whole column was about Mayfield being the leading MVP candidate. I would vote for him right now, and I have a vote.
Well, there were several people that do not disagree with you. They agree with you, including, and I'm thinking you may have watched her video because she said it word for word that you said. Who is more valuable to their team than Baker Mayfield? That would be Kay Adams.
Lee, they're missing two offensive linemen. They're missing the running back. They're missing a Hall of Fame receiver. They just put up 38 points. Seattle had prided itself on playing good defense through their first four games, second in the league in scoring defense going into the game. And the Bucs put up 38 on them. And they weren't cheap drives. They were. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll throw this out there, Lee, and this is candy corn to you.
candy corn. It's the season.
If you needed any more, and I don't think Buck fans do, but if you needed any more evidence of the intestinal fortitude of this entire team led by Mayfield, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong. The Seahawks had just driven 99 yards. 99 yards for the go-ahead touchdown. That's
galling.
Most teams are going to fall apart.
Yes.
They're going to fall apart.
Yes.
We lost the game. We gave up a 99-yard. Mayfield couldn't wait to get out there. Give me the ball. Five plays, 70 yards. Sterling Shepard is making plays, Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
He's making plays. Mm-hmm. Tez Johnson's making plays. Look at the rookies. You know, Parrish looked good.
Yeah.
Tez Johnson looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even have to talk about your man, Ibuka.
Yeah.
Absolutely spectacular. Lee, I might have gone a little far. I threw Paul Warfield's name in there. Look, I mean, the guy's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's played five games.
Mm-hmm.
But he is smooth, especially on that post play. A lot of his touchdowns have come off that same pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good at setting up the DB and getting them off balance. What a win for the Bucs. What a win.
It very much was. And I got to compliment you on the Paul Warfield analogy. Like you said, everybody's comparing him to Godwin. Like, he looks more like Paul Warfield. Like, well, I still think he looks like Godwin, but you made me think. That's interesting. And the more I thought about it, like, I could see how you could compare him to Warfield. Comparing him to Warfield to when I remember him when he was at the top of his game.
You know, now, Warfield's career average was over 20 yards a catch. That's spectacular.
For that era.
Well, the yards per catch were longer in that era.
Yeah, well.
They were longer, you look at it.
Well, this kid's over 18. That's a big number.
A huge number. Huge number.
Is it just me, but it seems like that 20, 25-yard seam pass to Ibuka, that's their bread and butter.
That's bread and butter.
So pretty.
What was it like out there, Lee? What was it like out there?
As far as the game?
Well, yeah, just the atmosphere.
What is this, the Travel Channel? Iron?
Well, he likes to hear
you
about the
some
travel.
Buck fans out there?
Yeah, I did. I not as many as I expected, because the Buckaholics, the fan group out in the West Coast, they usually come in droves in Southern California. They were there, but it wasn't en masse. And part of that may be because Seattle is such a solid football fan base that maybe there were no tickets available. So that could be it. But obviously the players were going crazy in the locker room. I'm waiting for the locker room to open up. And,
Did you hear it?
Heck yeah, you could hear it. It sounded like they all won the lottery or something. They were going crazy, as they should. You know, they took the best punch Seattle had. Seattle's not a garbage team. That's a good team. And in their stadium, they overcame. I talked to Werfs after the game, and I was blown away by how well Werfs played. And Werfs said, you know, understated way, yeah, I was having fun. And the one that sticks out for me, Rashad White's second touchdown. You look at the replay, Werfs wiped out three different players. He wiped out the guy at the point of attack on the line of scrimmage. He wiped out a guy on the second level, wiped out a guy on the third level at the goal line. I mean, it was beautiful. Quite literally, the road grader. He was the road grader, and I don't know why the Bucs don't run behind him more often. But if you got to put up a highlight, one highlight of Tristan Werfs, and I know everybody thinks he's a better pass blocker than run blocker, and he probably is. He's elite at that. But you want one highlight of what an all-pro should be, that was it.
They're averaging 27 points a game now.
27, yeah.
With Haggard and Heck on the right side, I don't hear Haggard's name mentioned. I think that's fantastic. You don't hear it.
Well, it's extraordinary, the Haggard and Heck factor. Luke Haggard at right guard.
This is their third guard over there. I mean, you know.
I mean, they signed him undrafted in 2023. He's just been sitting there developing. And son of a bitch, Jason Light finds a guy, and the guy's ready to play.
And Jordan was ahead of him, and now he's down.
Heck allowed the one sack of Baker Mayfield. That was all Charlie Heck. Screwed up. One sack allowed. Okay. But Heck's played a lot better on the right side. And they put up 38 points in Seattle with those two guys on the line. And I got to throw everything positive at Josh Grizzard. What he has pulled off, when you look at all the first-time coordinators around the league, he is leading the pack. And
he's being creative.
The
he's
offense
creative.
Is creative, sometimes too creative, but creative. And Tez Johnson, they found a way to work in this week.
They got involved.
They came right out of the blocks, exploiting something they saw on film where Otten could get some yardage.
Otten made some big plays, Lee. Yeah. Big plays.
The biggest play was the game-winning drive. Did he catch like a 15, 20-yarder on the right sideline?
Yeah.
Mayfield was scrambling.
I think it might have been the first snap of that drive.
It was early. His acceleration, Otten, man, he's got to work on that. It was like a Flintstones thing. You know, he's like, go, dude. You know,
like with the bare feet on the car.
There was a you know, of course, the Bucs have achieved all kinds of hype.
Yeah,
with this victory. I mean, it's incredible the amount of hype But there was one thing that I saved, Ira. I'm going to see if I can find it here. Otherwise, we'll grab it later.
This Buck bandwagon's growing exponentially.
Oh, my
exploding.
Gosh.
Exploding.
You had Marcus Spears on ESPN, a roundtable show. I forget the exact adjective that he used, but basically he went to the film, outlined three plays from Grizzard in succession that he just called pure brilliance. And they got the screen game back going. And, I mean, Grizzard, good for him.
Did you see what the Seattle coach said? That basically they out-schemed us, the Buck offense.
Yes.
That was a good quote.
Yeah, and they haven't. Seattle hadn't allowed 20 points, more than 20 this year. And they hadn't allowed that many at home in a long time. I tuned into Richard Sherman's podcast. He's got a podcast. He's wearing a
Seahawk.
He's wearing a Seahawks hat. He watches every Seahawks and 49ers game.
Former Buck.
And he was just couldn't believe what the Bucks did to the Seahawks defense. And, nobody knows what's going on with Todd Bowles' defense. You know, they only allowed a touchdown in the first half, but collapsed in the second half. And you know what? I outlined it on the website, Ira. I don't even know where do you throw blame on something like this? Fourth and two on that 99-yard drive. Darnold goes for it from the 21. And Yaya Diaby's right about to squeeze him. And Sam Darnold gets away from him. And then Reddick's right there unblocked and can't tackle him. And he throws a touchdown. What more of these is the coach is supposed to do when your edge rusher is on top of the quarterback and he's an athletic freak in Diaby and he can't tackle the guy? It's not Lamar Jackson.
There's still an issue or two, Lee, lingering.
Or five.
There is.
I'd say more than that.
But they're 4-1, Lee.
Yeah.
They're 4-1, and here comes the Niners, and then Detroit, and then New Orleans, I believe, and then the bye week. I said if they went 2-2 in those four games, starting with the Philly game, they'd be in great shape. We're not giving our picks till later in the week, but I was on a San Francisco radio station with Larry Kruger, and he asked me for my pick, and I gave it to him, and he didn't like it. But I got a 5-0 record to defend right now, Lee.
What was that record again? Brag about
5-0, baby.
5-0,
baby.
Okay.
Lee, the 4-1 is unbelievable when you look at the injury list. Now the 49ers are banged up too. Can you play much better than Mayfield's playing right now?
No.
Can you really?
No. No.
He looks like Tom Brady. I mean, in his prime. I mean, he's thrown one pick in five games.
Well,
one.
Brady has never had four game-winning drives with a minute to go in five games. He's never done that.
Mike Evans.
And when Mike Evans was on the field, there was no Godwin.
The running game wasn't great, Lee, on Sunday.
Well,
Mayfield still had a fantastic game.
You bring up something. I want to focus on the win. I want to focus on the positive. As you said, it's one of the best wins the Bucs have had in recent history. Do we have a running back controversy?
No.
No?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, okay, because Bucky, for whatever reason, and I love Bucky. You know that. Look at the numbers. He's not doing that well this year as a runner.
Oh, I thought you meant that White's going to take Bucky's.
Well, that's what I am asking.
Oh,
that.
Oh. No, absolutely not.
No?
Absolutely not.
I mean, White, as far as running the ball, he's like, I've never seen him hit holes the way he's doing this year. Never seen that.
But he's not going to pop for 30 yards like the other guy does.
True.
And they're both excellent receivers out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Steve, I'll throw it out to you. Can you play much better than Mayfield's playing right now? What more do you want from this guy?
Well, obviously not, Ira. What more is he going to do? This game, he was pretty much perfect. Godwin had a bad drop. There was another bad drop. He threw one away smartly. And I think, there were only two other incompletions.
Wait, he still runs for the occasional first down. Those are backbreakers.
Yes, he does.
On the defense.
And look, and this was a big part of Grizzard's job. Job one, bond with the quarterback. Make sure you guys are on the same page, that everybody's happy and in rhythm and everything else. And
I think he's done that.
I mean, he's done that. Grizzard is just, not perfect. But five games in, where's the learning curve now? Where does it go now after
exactly.
a game like that?
Exactly. There's always a learning curve with these guys. And he's only five games in. He hasn't had his full deck of cards yet either. We point out several times. He's always playing with a few cards short of a deck, a full deck.
Like Ira.
Well, he doesn't have Ira's resume. 50 years. That's amazing to me.
Lee, this sounds outlandish. I can't believe I'm saying it. It's not a stretch to think that the Bucks could contend for the number one seed in the NFC. Not crazy.
You know who said that?
It's not crazy.
You know who said that 2 months ago? And he was told he was crazy. By his cohorts, live on the air. Pete Prisco, Prickly Pete.
Now, they got to go to Detroit, and
yes.
That's the team that they might have to battle, and Detroit could get the tiebreaker if Detroit beats them. But Steve, nobody has a better record than the Bucks do.
No, look, this 4-1 is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But to have a real shot, they have to start playing better defense.
But Steve, and the last six games, I mean, it's like a walk in the park if they play up to their potential. It's a walk in the park.
Nobody's
got a closing schedule like the Bucks. Nobody.
It's not even that. Look, obviously, and I hope.
We're looking big picture.
We want a Super Bowl. We're not interested in winning the South. So they've got the firepower to score 30 points again this year,
like they did
last year. They have the firepower. Abuka, they're just figuring out all the things he can do, and he's been so great. So, yeah, they are a contender. When you can score like that, and you have at least they have defensive playmakers. If the defense sucks, at least they have some guys that can make a big play. So that's something, which is why I had at least a little confidence late in the game that, all right, one of these playmakers is going to do something at some point.
And it was their two biggest playmakers that did something.
Now, Lee, I got another Jamel Dean on my hands. You know how I've treated Dean for the past.
I know
six
you don't
months.
Like him.
I'm not happy
and,
with
him. And he's played pretty well. I got another guy.
McCollum?
Reddick.
He's not hurt.
Not hurt. He's not producing.
Well, that's all.
He's brought here for one reason. Hunt quarterbacks.
Well,
I don't want to hear about coverage. I don't want to hear about run support. He's brought here to hunt.
No.
And he's not doing it.
No. Ira's finally seeing the light.
He's not
I've been
doing
screaming
it.
This for years.
I don't know what's going on. He wants to cash in on a free agent paycheck next year.
I think,
who's laying out the money for Haason Reddick?
I think it's a lot of things. It's not just one thing. And I don't think Reddick is tanking because, like, you just.
I didn't say he's tanking.
No. But I'm, you know, people are making that conclusion. He wants a new contract. He's in a contract year. He doesn't want to look like crap and not get another deal. But guys who are 31, edge rushers, mostly, not always, as there's no absolutes. Mostly fall off the map. He's 31. Maybe that's part of it. I think the big thing is, and you won't like it.
I know what's coming.
Yeah.
How he's utilized. I know what's
well,
coming.
Well, I've said this before. I'll say it again. I'll keep saying it until it's proven wrong. Until I'm proven wrong. Just human nature. If someone doesn't care about something, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a dry cleaner who doesn't like to press pants. I don't care if it's a graphic design artist that doesn't like to deal with sports. I don't care what it is. If someone in their occupation places little to no value on a specific element, I don't know how you get that person to flip and be very good at that same thing if they don't care. There's got to be an element of want to, as Scott Brantley would say. You have to have that desire. You have to have that goal. And Todd Bowles just does not value an edge rush. So I think this is going to be, and people will say, well, he had JPP. He inherited the JPP. Oh, he had Shaq Barrett. Bowles, the words out of Bowles' own mouth was they didn't expect Shaq Barrett to turn into what he turned into. I just think until, and the way things are going, I hope it doesn't happen. But until there's a new defensive coordinator, I don't think this is ever going to change. They're never going to have a legitimate edge rush.
Steve, the bottom line, Darnold had way too much time. And it reminded me of the two games against the Falcons last year when Cousins, an immobile quarterback, had way too much time, and he's going to pick you apart. Darnold was not under siege.
So,
he was not.
Lee, just to clarify, are you saying, because Ira was, you know, saying, hey, so far, Reddick sucks, is basically what you're saying. So far. You know,
he's not doing what he was brought here to do.
Are you saying he sucks because of Bowles?
Partly.
Or
well, like I said, I don't think there's one specific element why Haason Reddick is not producing. I think it's a several things. His age, just look at the data of edge rushers that are 31. Yeah, sure, you'll find someone who are 35 and are really good. But the data suggests once they hit 31, they go off the map. That's part of it. The other part of it is Bowles' defense. The other part of it is edge rush is not supposed to be his main focus, unfortunately, even though he was brought in for that. I think it's a lot of things. I don't think it's one overall thing. I think it's three or four different factors.
You know, we're talking about playing with the big boys, the Detroits of the world, the Philly, the Eagles of the world. In January, I'd like to have a four-man pass rush that can get to the quarterback.
How about a two-man pass rush?
I'll take one.
They've got problems. Servasio Dennis did not have a good game here. And Zion McCollum is not playing well. He is not playing well. Doesn't mean he doesn't make a play here and there, but he's not playing like a big bunny cornerback.
Or a bad bunny.
Bowles talked about...
And David missed a bad tackle. Now, he made up for it with the interception.
And Bowles...
That was a bad... That was, Lavani always makes that tackle.
Well, he's 35.
Bowles talked about how he didn't blitz as much in this game because they were trying to cover for the hole in the secondary. Man, that's scary. That plan didn't work out too well, Todd. You know, he saves his best blitz for last, which is crazy, but it worked out. So it's fantastic. This Abuka stuff, Ira, and it's a crazy question, but it has to be asked because we've seen players like this before. We all watched Cadillac Williams and his start in
05. Where are you going?
Is Abuka, can he sustain this? Is he the real deal? A guy this year is going to end up with 16.
Well, Lee put up his projected numbers. They're outlandish. I mean,
it's just math.
He can't keep up 160 yards a week.
No, not a week. I'm saying
this guy's the real
can
deal.
Can he keep
Steve?
This up?
He's the real deal.
The last two games, he's gotten it done as the number one receiver, getting a lot of double coverage, and he's still getting it done. Can he keep it going? Is he the real deal?
Lee, his skills are undeniable. Good hands. You know, he's had a couple of drops. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Good hands. Fabulous route runner. Fabulous route runner. Not afraid of traffic, making catches in traffic. Knack for the end zone. I mean, what else is there? He's immediately got Mayfield's unresolved.
He's the number one receiver. He's right now.
And Godwin's, he's just rounding it to form. It's going to take a while.
It's pretty clear already he's Mayfield's favorite target.
Steve, can you imagine what kind of targets Mayfield's going to have after the bye week?
They got to manage it all.
I mean, suppose McMillan comes back.
It's on Grizzard to find a way to manage it, and on top of managing the egos and the pressure of Mike Evans' streak, and Abuka now being the number one guy, and Chris Godwin wanting some touches, and he may not. Godwin at that point may be the number four guy on merit. We don't even know. Kevin Ross, your guy, Ira the Rock, former All-Pro cornerback, he was a defensive backs coach with the Vikings. He said on Buccaneers Radio Network that Abuka has the best hands he's seen since Randy Moss. Casey Phillips, the Bucks host, said, are you really saying that? She repeated it back to him. He's like, yeah, I'm really saying that. He has the best hands I've seen since Randy Moss. I mean, it's and everybody's in love with this guy across the NFL. It's special.
Light picks the guy at 19. Light picks him. He could have took a defensive player. Mm-hmm. He could have took Jihad Campbell, who might turn out to be a good linebacker.
I think he's decent already.
I think so. Light sticks to his guns. Godwin, I think, knew about it in February when he dropped that bombshell at the in Indianapolis, like, we might take a wide receiver.
Oh, Bowles, you mean?
Yeah, Bowles.
Okay.
What did I say?
You said Godwin.
Oh, yeah, Bowles. And we should have took him at his word, Lee, right then and there.
Well, that's a good question. Does Chris Godwin come back if he knows for sure that the Bucs want to draft a number one wide receiver? That's a good question. We'll never get an answer to.
McMillan could be an afterthought, Lee, in November. I mean, if he's ready to come back in Week 10, where's he going to get the touches? Evans is back at Booker, and here comes Godwin. Shepard's got to get his, and here's Tez Johnson. It's a nice problem to have, Lee.
A nice problem to have, and I don't think they have that many egos in a locker room in a wide receiver room. We've seen that before. Their egos are in check, and they're very much professionals. But to your point, Ira, I'm going to use my well-worn cliche. Winning is the greatest perfume.
Fabulous.
Sage, while you sip that coffee there, Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite restoration.com. Call them 24/7. Mention Ira, mention Joe Bucks Fan, and you will get $500 back after your free inspection if you need them to restore your property after mold, fire, flood, storm damage. Water damage is a crushing killer, causes all kinds of problems. You need the folks who know how to fight with your insurance company to get what's coming to you, who have the technology to figure out what's actually going on, the skill and the team to repair everything. They cover the whole Tampa Bay area over to Orlando and across the state.
And they got the knowledge of how the insurance business works. So you're getting the best of both worlds there.
It's critical. You have to know they've got decades of experience on the other side, working the game on the other side. Now they're fighting for homeowners. 5.0 Google review star rating.
When am I going to have a 5.0 Google review, Steve? Come on.
It's not happening.
Come on, the crews out there in Costa Rica. Give me a 5.0.
5-star Google reviews, which is amazing in this kind of business. Florida's Elite Restoration, family-owned. Josh Martin is all over it, taking care of so many Joe Bucks Fan listeners and Sage fans, and we've referred a lot of people there. Everybody's happy, and they love that free evaluation. Don't hesitate, because you are required to report these things immediately in order to be covered. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. All right, Ira, question for you.
Hold on. Lee, are the Buccaneers the darlings of the NFL right now?
Yeah.
By the way the way they're winning, because somebody could say, ah, Jacksonville's 4-1. They should be the darlings. It's the way they're doing it.
Offense. Offense sells tickets. Offense gets tension.
The last minute.
It's also exposure, Ira, because, look, you had a huge Monday Night Football win in week two.
Then you had the Eagles.
A lot of attention on the Eagles. But this game, it ran late. Long game, a lot of points. The whole nation is watching his last 4 o'clock game going. That stuff matters in the perception value of the team. And they're scoring points, and points are exciting.
And they're going to have some primetime games going forward,
no question. So with Detroit coming up in 2 weeks, the 7 o'clock Monday night game. So, yeah, a lot of exposure, and everybody loves Mayfield now. In love with the guy.
Adams going crazy. Lee, Kay Adams, can't say enough about
it. Don't get me going.
Don't get you going.
All right, I got to ask you this, Ira, because you guys brought up the amazing loaded receivers room, and I wrote about this. Lee says, not going to work. Doesn't make sense given the situation. But Rondé Barber talked about it openly on his show, and I think it's obvious now. Reddick is somewhat washed. Diaby can't finish a play.
I know where you're going.
Braswell is not shocking the world. Marquise Watts isn't there yet. I mean, Anthony Nelson, they don't have an edge rush. You're loaded at receiver, but regardless, you've got draft picks. You got draft capital. You're 4-1. You believe you can win a Super Bowl. The Glazers would sit here and say, yeah, we could win a Super Bowl this year. Don't you have to try to go 4-5? And isn't this the year to go make a move? Because if Jason Light's so great in the draft, losing a second-round pick, he should be able to make up for it because he's so great in the draft.
Wait, Jason Light calls any Glazer, pick a Glazer, you know, Darcy Glazer, any Glazer, and says...
It's like a deck of cards.
We have an opportunity to add a veteran, proven pass rusher. It's going to cost us, but should we do it? The answer is unanimous. Go do it, Jason. Go do it. No hesitation. That's where they put themselves this year. This ain't a 1-4 team. This team's 4-1. They need guys that can play in January and hunt quarterbacks. Hunt them.
All things even, I would be on my knees
go
begging.
Bury Jared Goff in January. Bury him.
You're singing my song, Ira. All things even, I would be on my hands and knees for a legitimate edge rusher. Get some guy that's on a contract year. Rent him, you know,
that's
from
right.
Some team that's not in the playoff picture. I just don't think...
The time of hoarding your third-round draft picks are over for this team, they are right now.
I'm right with you, but I see where the guy is going.
The Lions have Aiden Hutchinson. The Bucs don't. They don't have a guy like that.
Aiden Hutchinson also plays for a coach that believes in an edge rush. I always go back to Bowles.
But he's a stud.
He's a stud, but you know what? You could take a Ferrari and put a Pinto engine in it. What do you got? It looks pretty, but it's not going to produce. And I don't expect him to. Unless Todd Bowles has some kind of epiphany that, you know, I better start valuing edge rush. I better start getting sacked. Until he does that, I just don't think it'll matter.
Steve, unless things change, and it might with Reddick, it might. But if they don't, you know, Light has to take a good hard look and say, this one didn't work out.
I'm talking about this year.
I'm talking about.
All right, well.
It didn't work out, and we got to go get somebody at the trade deadline. We got to make a move.
In theory, I absolutely agree with you, Iyer. In practice, I don't think it'll matter.
This is on Light.
If they keep winning.
This is on Light.
If they keep winning and they do nothing, shame on them. Shame on them. Because what are you holding on to these picks for? If you think you're going to go 12-4.
Not the Tennessee Titans trying to build a roster.
I know. In spirit, I'm right with you guys.
In a couple of weeks, if you think, hey, you know, we're in good shape for the number one seed, then what are you doing? What are you waiting for? So, well, we have to maintain our consistency in 2027.
And Lee says, somebody's going to shake loose.
What about Hendrickson?
With a bad team.
Yeah. The Bengals just traded for Joe Flacco. If he doesn't win a couple of games, their thing is shot. Hendrickson is probably available.
I'm not saying Myles Garrett, you know, but somebody that's proven.
Steve brings up Joe Flacco. Are you suggesting that Bowles should go buy back JTS?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's going to be a big theme going forward, unless Reddick starts showing up.
Unless he does. And he might, but... It doesn't look good. Like, it just doesn't look good.
I can't believe this offense is averaging 27 points, Lee, with all the injuries. I can't believe it. A new offensive coordinator. By the way, Cone's doing a good job. Cone's no slack.
No, he's doing
Cone's
a very
no
good job. Yeah.
Jacksonville.
Well,
yeah. I got
it's
a
very
friend.
Interesting, Cone. What's
I got
going
a,
on there?
I got a friend of mine in Jacksonville, a very good friend, a guy I played football with in high school. And when I saw him over the summer, he asked me about Cone. And I said, here's what I could tell you. I can tell you, Cone is a hell of a coach. I don't know what he can do with Jacksonville. I don't think he's got the talent that he had with the Bucs.
Trevor Lawrence looked great.
Thomas McGahee.
Yeah, let's talk that a little bit, Lee.
He did, I thought, was one of the most stand-up things I've ever seen an assistant coach do. Got up at a press conference last week.
Before he took a question.
Had an opening statement and basically said, special teams is on me. I'm the coach. I will get it fixed. I love that. And I compare that to Greg Shanahan's defensive coordinator, who basically got all snarky when they were asking how he was being, how he was using Darrell Revis. And he said, well, the fans are chirping.
Was that Sheridan?
Yeah, Sheridan. Bill Sheridan. And, oh, the fans are chirping, huh? Well, they can come here, and I'll show them the film. We even have free Cokes. I get here at 20 after 5 in the morning. And people showed up, and he basically flipped them the bird.
Was that before or after they started 0-8 or whatever it is?
Now, to his credit, McGahee, he got the block kicks taken care of, at least for 1 week. That's taken care of.
I didn't like the kickoff coverage.
You took the words out of my mouth. The kickoff coverage is abysmal. We're talking about the defense and the defense playing bad. We're talking about no edge rush. How many playoffs are you going to win when on a kickoff team they let the opposition get the midfield? They get the midfield every play. Midfield.
Chase McLaughlin had a solo tackle and was in on another one. You don't want that.
You don't want that.
How many playoff games are you going to win when you're spotting a ball at midfield for your opponent? Not very many. He took away from the kick game to fix one problem. Now he's got another.
They gave up 300 yards in the second half, Steve. In the second half.
Look, they couldn't stop him in the second half. Finally, they made a play.
Is Seattle blessed with all kinds of brilliant talent on the offensive side of the ball?
They have two things. Well, maybe three things if you count Sam Darnold. Of course, Kenneth Walker's underrated, I think. But they have Njigba, who's
really good.
He's basically a Buka of Seattle.
Yeah, he's really good.
And they had the ultimate Bucs killer, Cooper Kupp.
He hurt them.
Well, that was really the distressing thing out of the game was the Bucs run defense didn't show up. Sam Darnold didn't run for 1 yard, so there was no phony scramble situation here. Seattle ran 20 times for 122 yards. And that's brutal.
6 yards.
Gashed all over the place. And Vita Vea, he was double-teamed all game. I watched the film. He didn't do as well as he usually does with the double teams. It's no knock on him. He's supposed to have other guys around him, but man, they've got some problems. I mean, Servassier Dennis, he's healthy.
Your boy Logan Hall doing anything?
Look, not a good day for the Bucs defense.
Not a good day for the Bucs defense.
No.
Actually, two people brought this up to me on Twitter, again, specifically after the game. And I never thought of this before. And I know you won't like it when I'm bringing it up. But these people told me that they don't think it's player. They think there's an issue with Bowles' defense. What I mean by that is, I'm not talking about edge rush. They said, as long as Bowles has been here, inside linebackers cannot defend the pass. First it was Devin White, then it was K.J. Britt, then it was J.J. Russell. Now it's Servassier Dennis. And it's a pattern. It's not a thing.
Wasn't
it's a pattern.
Wasn't White decent the first 2-3 years?
I thought he was okay, but, you know, obviously he got worse, and it's never gotten better if you think about it. You know, the reason why K.J. Britt's no longer here, he couldn't defend the pass. J.J. Russell, same thing, couldn't defend the pass.
Would you try Deion Jones over Dennis for a game?
I don't know what to think, and this is why. I think Dennis against the run's okay. He gets a lot of tackles, so he must be doing something right. But he's getting absolutely exposed with the pass. And that was K.J. Britt's problem.
I thought that was his strength, Steve.
It's not.
I mean, that differentiated him from Britt.
Well, allegedly.
Blitzing was a big strength of his. And he's played the run well, but this was not his game. So, I mean, I hope they bounce back.
It's not been his season.
But, no, he's not good against the pass. He's not very instinctive. And I don't think McCollum's played that well. I said that before.
He's underwhelming this year.
I thought Mayfield's bicep was bothering him. He put up one of the greatest games a Buck quarterback's ever had.
With a bum bicep.
Didn't he throw a 60-yard ball in the air?
Yeah.
Steve, I wish my bicep was screwed up like that.
Maybe you guys know this. I could have swore entering the game, Seattle had not given up a touchdown outside the red zone.
Oh, I didn't hear
that. I'm not sure.
I read that. And did the Bucs score two outside the red zone? That's how good the offense was going.
Well, we called for Rashad White to get his day, and he played well.
He played hard.
The stats are a little deceiving. A little swing pass in the red zone that he got was an 8-yard loss, and it was behind the line of scrimmage, so it counted as a run. So that affected his run stats.
He had a solid game.
And a big run at the end.
Big run at the end. Caught everything they threw to him. Got the job done.
That big run at the end, I asked him about this too. I thought he had 6 points. I thought he had the corner just about turned. I thought there was nothing between him and the goal line, just green grass. And he smartly went down because the way that defense was playing, Oh, you better eat the clock. And I asked him about that as soon as T.J. Reeves finished with him. I asked him about that. I said, man, I thought you had the corner turned. Were you thinking six? He goes, I thought that. And but you think about this. He had a nanosecond to think.
That's
should
smart,
I go down or not?
That's smart football.
Yeah.
That's football.
Being aware. What I mean by being aware is he knew his defense probably couldn't get a stop, even with only 30 seconds left.
All right, Sage, before we blow out of here, I've got an important Bucks question for you, a serious question. I think it was a turning point in the game, and I'm not sure what to I have my thoughts, but I got to hear what you have to say. BillCurryFord.com, so many great lease offers. I mean, just incredible what's going on there now, and they are up for a big President's Award from Ford. Sean was telling me about that. And
that's a national award.
It's tied to a customer retention. It really speaks to just how well you get treated there. BillCurryFord.com. Just shop there today. That's all we ask. Give them a shot. They will earn your business. And Florida's Elite Restoration, be prepared at all times. Get to their websites. You know what the hell we're talking about here on the podcast. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, Ira. So that great punt that we saw from Dixon. So that big punt late in the fourth quarter, down by Josh Hayes, 1 yard line, way to go. Okay.
Game's tied at that point.
It was fourth and 17. Tie game. The Bucks are on the Seattle 41-yard line. That means the Bucks passed up a 58 or 59-yard field goal by Chase McLaughlin. That's a big decision right there. Turned out to be the right decision, but an interesting call in that game. Why are they not kicking when the guy, the week before, McLaughlin kicks a 65-yarder and a 58-yarder?
I have the answer, but Ira, go ahead.
Now, you know that your punter hasn't had a great year. Your special teams has struggled.
I guess he still had faith in the Buck defensively. He still had some faith. You know, if you're going to have them inside the 10-yard line, you don't have any faith in the defense that you're going to stop them from when they're starting inside the 10-yard line? That means Bowles probably shouldn't be the defensive coordinator if he's thinking like that.
Don't give people ammunition.
I know.
Remember, Mr. McLaughlin had a flu.
Sure.
So that was part of
it.
That was a big part of it, I think.
You know, if he misses the field goal, all of a sudden you hand the Seattle ball
the game's over.
Midfield. You know.
Well, no, there was 7.5 minutes left.
Oh, okay. I thought it was shorter now. Okay.
The game was tied, right?
Tie game. 7 minutes, 28 seconds left. Bucks
pass.
What
was it? Fourth and what?
Fourth and 17. So you're kicking the field.
Yeah,
you're not going for it. 58 or 59-yarder. They passed on it.
Yeah, because McLaughlin had the flu. Apparently it was nasty.
Well, it worked out, and then it didn't work out. They dropped it at the one, and they went 99 yards.
That 99-yard drive, Ira, on the 7th play, Seattle finally had a third down.
Wow.
That's how bad the defense
was.
Now, third and two.
Wow.
The touchdown they had on that drive, was that the one on the left sideline?
Yeah.
That stadium shook, Steve. It shook. I mean, you could noticeably feel it.
All right, I'm done. Lee, you have a Seattle thought you want to share with America?
Well, real quick, that stadium is, when they say it's loud, it is loud. And like I said, twice in that game, and the when Darnold escaped that sack and got a first down with the pass, that stadium shook then, and it shook later on the touchdown on that drive. You could feel it. It was shaking. It was wild, man.
This is looking like Baker Mayfield's year. That's all you got to say.
Real quick, I hope
it's his year.
I hope you keep this in, Steve, because I always forget to do this, but I'm remembering now. I always meet Bucks fans when I'm on the road, and I met a guy. He's a Bucks fan from Washington, D.C. His buddy also is from Washington, D.C. He's a Seahawks fan. They went and flew across country, too, to watch it. His name's Darian. Great guy. He listens to Ira's podcast religiously, loves the website, and I didn't even know I was talking to the guy for like 20 minutes. Didn't know he was a Bucks fan.
Yeah, let's send him the video of me singing Midnight Special over there. It'll make his day over there.
But all the people that come up to me and say they read the website, I appreciate all of them. And just because I forget to mention your name on a podcast doesn't mean I forgot about you.
I
but
hear you.
This time I remembered.